Translation: Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master. I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktanam Yagachapasam Sarvalokam Heshram. I am the proprietor of all planets, and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of a living being is to surrender unto Him. Sarvadhamam Prachyaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, "You must do this." And the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate. And the Supreme Personality of God, it is Vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunate persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Nate vidu swartikatim vishnu. Illusion by the material energy. Everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Lord Vishnu. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat paratalam devi tadiyanam samarchanam. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva explains to his wife Parvati, the goddess Durga, that the highest goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya Dasa Dasa Nudasa. One must become a servant of the servant. Pallava Maharaj also prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev that he might be engaged as the servant of the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yeya tamam prabhajyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Om Gyana Chirmanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Yes, we want the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. In order to accomplish that goal, we have to learn how to serve Krishna. We need to be trained in rendering service to the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. And that can appear a bit difficult because we can't get it out of our heads that if I don't serve me directly, I won't be happy. This is what is like bubbling underneath our consciousness all the time. How can it be that if I don't serve me, I'll be happy? It's not possible. It all makes sense. If I serve me, there's happiness. But if I serve someone else, how can there be happiness? Unless that person is gratifying my senses, in which case I'm actually serving myself, not them. So this is what troubles us so much. How can I be satisfied by satisfying someone else? No, I must think about me. In order to crack this great problem, you need knowledge and detachment. That's why bhakti yoga has two components, jnana and vairagya. The two components of bhakti are transcendental knowledge and detachment from the material energy. By getting those two effects, jnana and vairagya, transcendental knowledge and detachment, you actually get an experience and the wisdom of how, by treating Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, automatically you're satisfied much more than you could ever be by trying to satisfy yourself. So this is the battle we fight every day. This is the battle under the scenes in Krishna consciousness. It's always this. How can it be that if I sacrifice completely for Krishna's pleasure, I'll be satisfied? Generally, we like to make deals. We heard a few days ago about Vanik Seva, mercantile service. Okay, Krishna, some for me, some for you. Let life go on in that way. Prahlad Maharaj declined such business. He didn't want that kind of treatment from Lord Nrisimhadeva. Now, in this verse, Prahlad is definitively stating the constitutional position of the living entity. Jivera Swarupoi Krishner Nityadas. I am the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. There is no other relationship now or in the future. It's natural. It's not artificial. It's not that we have to strain to make Krishna our master. It's not that the relationship is artificial. No, it's totally natural. What is artificial is our forgetting servitude to Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is boldly declaring himself, "Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master." There's no need of our being anything other than master and servant. No need. Now, can we feel that in our hearts with conviction? There's no need of anything else other than my rendering service to the Supreme Lord. According to how deep that conviction runs in your heart, that determines your conviction, or your shraddha, rather, your depth of advancement. We were speaking the other day. Shraddha, shabde, vishvas, kohe, shubhita, nishchoy, Krishna bhakti kaile, sarva kama, kittahoy. By serving Krishna, everything else is taken care of. According to how you understand that principle, you're classified as a first, second, or third class devotee. So this devotional service that we have is our everything. It's our life and soul. There's nothing else really than that. But in our stage of becoming decontaminated from matter, we have subordinate supplementary material activities in relation to the body and in relation to the mind. Using yukta vairagya, real renunciation, as recommended by Rupa Goswami, we deal with these subordinate bodily and mental things by connecting them as much as possible directly to Krishna's service. Our hope is that even the material things of this world, even the material arrangements of this world, will be infused with Krishna bhakti. That is the mysticism of bhakti yoga. We don't turn our backs on the world. No, we seek to engage the world in Krishna's service. But to do that requires spiritual intelligence. And the way you get spiritual intelligence is by declaring yourself to Krishna, "I am your servant. You please order me as you like." "Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master." There's no need of our being anything other than master and servant. Now, do we really feel that in our heart? There's no need for anything else. Our contamination is, well, that's nice, but let's be practical. There's a lot of other things we need. There aren't. You know, a drunkard thinks, "I must have alcohol." I don't know if you've known any drunkards or drug addicts. They really feel they have to have these things. Similarly, in our conditioned state, we really think we need material arrangements for our satisfaction. We really think that. Just like a drunkard seriously thinks he needs alcohol. Now, all of you who've known alcoholics, you know how ridiculous this is. You can see right before your eyes how the alcohol is destroying the alcoholic. You can see them squandering so much money, ruining their health, poisoning their liver, destroying their families, destroying their jobs. But I need the alcohol. We can see that quite clearly, anyone who's not an alcoholic. But can we see how we are destroying our devotional service to the Lord with our insistence that we need material arrangements? Actually, nothing is required except service to the Lord. But Krishna, being very merciful, allows us to present our material situations to Him in such a way that we can use our material situations to contribute towards the service of the Lord. Prabhupada gave a very nice example that let's see if I remember it clearly. You have two things, the soul and the body. That means body and mind intelligence. Now, you're not the body. How are you going to get to the platform of pure soul? Generally, it can't be done immediately. Therefore, a system is required so that you, as you put it, gradually undress, gradually get rid of the false coverings. A system is required. But the fact is, you're not those coverings. But how to gradually get rid of these unnecessary coverings? That requires a systematic arrangement of life. Therefore, if we can arrange all our activities so that they contribute towards the goal of our spiritual identity, reviving our spiritual identity, then even supplementary things in our life, which aren't exactly completely devotional service, they take on meaning. This is how powerful Krishna Bhakti is. That even things in relation to your body and mind take on a spiritual glow, so to speak, because you're using that body and mind in Krishna's service. Now, what keeps the whole process on track? What keeps the whole process going in the right direction? The nine processes of devotional service. When your life has a solid core of those nine processes of devotional service, then all the supplementary things you do, they stay in focus. They stay relevant. But when the nine processes of devotional service disappear from the core of your life, then all those supplementary things necessary for maintaining the body, bodily relations, maintaining the mind, those things grab the center stage. And that's when your spiritual creeper starts to wither. In this way, we have to be very practical. How can I arrange my life, according to my ashram, so that the nine processes of devotional service will always be vibrant in the center? That is our ambition. That is our hope. When the nine processes of devotional service are vibrant in the center of our life, naturally we feel that we are the servants of Krishna. And as we become purified, we begin to think, I don't need anything from Krishna except devotional service. There's no need for anything else. You're naturally my master, and I'm naturally your servant. That is liberation. You see, at first, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you think liberation means getting free from material suffering. No. There's nothing very special about getting free from material suffering. The special thing is attaining Krishna's lotus feet. So when you actually feel that there's nothing else except my service to Krishna, you are liberated. You're beyond material suffering. No, you're far beyond that. You're situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. That's why Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that even the neophyte is unconsciously liberated. Now, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to make you conscious of your liberation. What is that liberation? You have Krishna's service. But in the beginning, we don't appreciate the value of what we have. Still, we have it. You have Krishna as his name. You have Krishna as the deity. You have Krishna as his service, as the Bhagavad Gita. You have it. But we're not conscious of what we have. So bhakti yoga means the gradual waking up that we have perfection in our hands. Now, you may be a new devotee. Still you have Krishna, but you're not aware of it. But you have. In that way, the neophyte is said to be unconsciously liberated. This is how exalted bhakti yoga is. Now, of course, the love will be better when you are conscious. Then you can obviously more actively partake in a reciprocal relationship when you are conscious of what's going on. So we're always trying to increase the consciousness of Krishna. And how do you increase the consciousness of Krishna? Through devotional service. Krishna consciousness is not a belief system. It is a system for rendering service, action. So we're always looking at activities. What's going on? That's what makes devotional life very vibrant. What's going on for Krishna? What are the activities that are happening for Krishna? We're always looking for that. This is a very wonderful verse by Prahlad Maharaj, and we would do well to meditate on this verse because it is the standard that we're striving for. Maybe we're not on that platform now, but there's nothing wrong in meditating on this standard because it will, like a beacon, bring us through the night. So don't just reject it. Okay, that's that pure devotee stuff, but look, right now, where am I at? No, you need the beacon to bring you through the dark night. So don't be afraid to make this beacon fixed in your life. And gradually adjust your life to reach this goal. Never think I'm on a plateau. Always think I must climb higher. There's actually no plateaus in devotional service. You may notice that anyone who thinks they have a plateau, they've achieved a plateau, that plateau disappears very quickly because it only exists in the mind. Now, we are either increasing in our spiritual attachment or we're increasing in our material attachment. Life is a dynamic process. Life is not static. It's always moving towards something. So either we're moving towards Krishna or we're moving towards material attachment. Any questions? Yes. So that you can. Still, you get the benefit. You'll get benefit just by acting that you're Krishna conscious. You'll get benefit. But the real thing is to put your heart into it. Still, just by doing it externally, you'll get benefit. But not as much as if you put your heart into it. Just like in a married relationship, the husband and wife aren't resonating with love and affection every day. Most homes. So some days it kind of goes on mechanically. There's the ups and downs, would you say? Yes, it's like that. Yeah. The waves come in and out. So some days there's heartfelt exchanges. Other days it's just routine mechanics. Now, we don't discredit those routine mechanical days because still the relationship is there. The relationship being maintained, but it's not very exciting or dynamic as the heartfelt days when there's merging of the hearts and resonation and reciprocation and all that. So even if you serve Krishna mechanically, still there'll be credit, but Krishna wants more from you and much more is available for you. Therefore, by hearing about Krishna, we feel motivated to put our hearts into our service. And when the heart is in the service, then you really get credit because that's something like love. Gradually, in our spiritual endeavors, we will near the platform of real love. But without putting the heart into something, there can't be love. But still, we don't want to discredit those who are just serving Krishna mechanically. All right. We got to do this. The temple president has told me this should be done. All right. I'll do it. This time, anyway. Next time, I hope he gets somebody else, but... No, all right, what do they want now? Who's calling from the temple? What do they want? If you do it, you still get credit. But obviously it's best to put your heart into it. Now, of course, everyone has to use their intelligence, how to arrange their lives for maximum service. And the different ashrams have different styles of doing that. Householders actually have to take care of their homes and their family. But if a solid core of devotional service is there, the whole family, the whole home, takes on a relationship to Krishna's service. Therefore, as I said, it's very important that we all have the nine processes of devotional service at the core of our life. Anything else? Yes.
The example of the mental plateau, the conception of this plateau, and actually there is a perfect sense to make. I was reading the other day, Sachin Maharaj was describing how the different stages of devotional service of Lord Shiva in Bhajana Kriya, Sachin Bhajana Kriya, he was describing his realization was that the Anatta Nibbiti stage seems to be very long and it appears to be like a plateau. This is a very, very long stage of purification. He described it like a plateau, so I was just wondering how he would see
it. When I was saying there's no plateau, it means we shouldn't make for ourselves some kind of niche that, okay, now I'm okay and this is the way it's going to be. We shouldn't do that. Although I can, from another angle, of course, what you're describing, yes, that makes sense. But you never think that I'm on a plateau. Now everything's fine. I have my attachments, whatever. Still I'm not at all completely attached and just let it be like that. As soon as you say like that, you start losing momentum. Love is dynamic. That's a better way of looking at it. Bhakti yoga is about love. And love is a dynamic process. Every householder knows you can't just rest on your laurels in your married relationship. You have to work at it. Okay, we had the yajna 5 years ago, What's the big deal, Just let it be. No home will go on that way, I don't think, will it? We had our yajna, now we're on the plateau, so, you do your thing, I do mine, we'll see what happens. No, all the householders know you have to constantly work at the relationship. If that is true in what may be material relationships, certainly it's true with Krishna, who is the supreme lover. Krishna likes dynamic service. Vrindavan is so dynamic. All the living entities there are always trying to increase their service to Krishna. There's nothing else for them to do. They wouldn't think of anything else. Even the trees with their fruits and flowers bow down at Krishna's feet. The Jamuna River tries to flow towards Krishna's feet. Everything is active. That's why Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar Devotion that bhakti is cultivation, activity. It's not an inert, static process. Love is moving. Love is movement. Dynamics. And by hearing about Krishna, we get that sense of movement and dynamic that makes devotional service ever fresh. It's like when you go in the kitchen, you know how to display the dynamics of kitchen devotion. It's not just like a static thing to you. It's a, it's an ocean with various currents and waves, right? But to an ordinary person, they just look in the kitchen, oh, there he is in the kitchen again. What's the big deal? Doesn't he get tired of that? It's the same old thing. Same old pots. Same old, ingredients. What's the big deal? But someone who knows how to cook for Krishna, they know that they're dealing with a world of tastes for offering to Krishna. And that's what makes it exciting. It's ever fresh. Krishna's got unlimited tastes. And the devotee is always thinking how to serve Krishna unlimitedly in spite of our limitations. That makes life exciting. Anything else? Everyone looks a little sleepy today, so I'm going to let you go early. Maybe you have time for a snack before breakfast. All right, let's hear the verse again. Oh, my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Hare Krishna, all glory to the Prabhupada.